Looking for a guiding hand in your Amazon business? Wizards of Ecom Academy is here for you. Our personalized support system includes unlimited email access to myself and my entire team to help you overcome challenges and strategize effectively. Sign up for an exclusive rate at wizardsofecom.com/academy. Your personal e-commerce coach awaits.
Welcome to the Wizards of Ecom, your no-fluff playbook for online success. Each episode is fully packed with actionable tactics you can implement in your business right now. Take your life to a higher level and excel in your online success. It's time to work on you and your business. Let's do this.
Welcome back to the Wizards of Ecom. My name is Carlos Alvarez, and I will be your host for the show. On today's episode, we have the founder of PPC University and veteran Amazon seller, Mina Elias. Welcome to the show, Mina.
What's up, Carlos? It's good to be back. I'm super excited about this episode.
Absolutely. I thought you were on the show before. You were definitely on my list of like people to get in early. And I think the reason it missed was like the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And you actually presented on a PPC topic to the Wizards of Amazon community during the pandemic. So that's probably what I thought it was. It was a great presentation, by the way, and my group wants you back.
Yeah, no, I'm happy. I'm happy to do it. I know we talked about doing it live, and you know, I've learned a lot more about PPC since the last time. So there's so much more to share, and you know, I'm always learning. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, we spoke about a workshop. I think that's what you're talking about. Like, it's something like first of its kind, that type of thing, like real deal value. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Stay tuned.
You go out, you're super confident. Like at the end of it, you're super confident. You know what to do. You go home. It's like, I got this. You know, you can, if you have an agency, you can keep them accountable. If you have your own thing, you can do it yourself. And honestly, man, sometimes it's like daunting to get into the nitty gritty details, but I think when you have someone hold your hand and do it with you and like, let's go into this nasty thing together, and we do it a few times, and then you're like, okay, like it wasn't as bad as I thought, and it's never as bad as you think it is.
Hell yeah, I totally get that. It reminds me of a Will Smith like video I saw on like skydiving recently, and he was talking about how he was just like freaked out all the way leading up until he jumps out the plane, and he says it was the best, most exhilarating thing of his life. That yeah. sort of thing.
I love it.
So we could have like 9 podcasts on, you know, your PPC skills. You're a veteran Amazon seller. You're a thought leader in the Amazon space. So I want to mention that so people have an idea of where you're coming from for the rest of the show. The reason I'm inviting you to the show now, though, actually has nothing to do with those things. It's going to have to do with some, I'm going to try to extract from you, even though you're an open book, but I'm going to try to extract from you some like Kickstarter goal, like tactics and insights on what it takes to pull off a successful Kickstarter campaign to launch a private label product. It's an Amazon e-commerce show, so we want to tie it all together. A little backstory here about the product, Cook Neuro. In your own words, or at least in Kickstarter's words, is a delicious all-natural supercharged coffee alternative designed to boost your energy and focus all day.
It's amazing.
Did I get that right? Delicious.
Yeah.
And it tastes delicious.
Yeah. So I'll tell you a little bit about the product, right? It's a funny story, but the reason that we did this is me and Samer wanted to do a case study. Samer has his YouTube channel and he hides what his product is, as do many other Amazon sellers. I respect it. It's all good. But he's like, dude, I wish I could talk about my product. And at the same time, I'm like, dude, what if we did some sort of like collaboration where we created a product in front of everyone, you know, sourced it, did the whole thing in front of everyone, kind of as like a education and to unearth the mystery of product sourcing. And don't get me wrong, this is a very different approach to products. This is inventing a product. This is not private labeling. This is not, you know, finding a product that works on Amazon, making it a little bit better. This is coming up with a solution to a problem. And so, you know, I was telling Samer, dude, I'm getting into this lion's mane, this chaga, cordyceps, like functional mushrooms. And I was getting golden milk, which is like turmeric and cardamom, cinnamon, and coconut powder. And I would put the mushrooms on it to like kind of supercharge it. I add some cacao sometimes, mix it up, drink it. It was that perfect drink. I stay away from coffee. I absolutely love coffee. Every Saturday I have coffee. We go to a different spot, a different cafe. We try something new, but it is incredibly addicting and it will make you not able to function without it. I guarantee you, because I've been a little bit down that like path and I was like, no, like, let's not do this. It's as bad as cigarettes. So, you know, we wanted to come up with something that could be just as good as coffee, just as functional as coffee, without the side effects of like the wired feeling, the jitteriness, the, you know, Sammer would not be able to go to sleep if he had coffee after 12 noon. So we came up with this coffee alternative, right? It gives you, it has all the benefits of coffee. So it gives you energy from natural sources like coconut guarana. And instead of spiking energy and crashing, we added coconut cream, which has medium chain triglycerides. And it's the same as like the way bulletproof coffee works. Instead of getting that spike, you get a long lasting sustained energy. Then we add functional mushrooms to it to help boost your focus and your, you know, so you can, since we're making it for us, like people who are focusing all day on the computer, we added some like superfoods in it, ashwagandha, maca, to help with your adrenal glands, which coffee really messes up. And then at the end, we, you know, we made it taste like hot cocoa. So you can drink it. You can feel like, ah, oh, this is a nice warm cup of hot cocoa, and it can become a ritual. And it's called Cognuro Ritual, because our goal was to make it a ritual for you to you know, consume every day. So we came up with the solution to the problem. And I told Sam, I was like, okay, like we already know how to do the Amazon thing, right? We can source the product, you know, make it everything, and then just put it up on Amazon, rank it, PPC, all the good stuff, get reviews from our friends. And, you know, it's pretty simple. I said, I wonder if we would be able to raise the money to create the product, you know, without putting our own money in, and we would do it through Kickstarter. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I love learning and I love trying and I love failing, because the more I fail, the more experienced I become and the faster I learn and the more skills I get. And so I said, let's get this thing up on Kickstarter. And, you know, it was a crazy journey. We talked to Kirsten. She's a Kirsten Ross professional at Kickstarters. But like she does like $200,000-$300,000 Kickstarters, but we got a lot of good information from her. And, you know, we actually, for this case study, went out and hit up, Gatita, Thrasio, you know, Pickfu, Cellarize, Incrementum, Ping Pong Payments, and they all sponsored the entire challenge. And they said, yeah, we would love to like give you money to support you experimenting in front of everyone. And so, you know, I just want to say thank you to those guys for believing us and supporting us. But I learned a lot at the Kickstarter, and I'd love to share everything. So I don't know, you tell me where to start.
No, absolutely. I love that. You got ahead of me on like two questions I had. Not ahead of me, like you already answered them perfectly. Like some of the stuff I wanted to know, like more about like why I'm a longtime consumer, and it really just became a habit, but I felt like I stopped getting any positive stuff out of it. And it's not just because you're on the show, a brand called Mudwater. And yeah. I actually stopped Mudwater when I saw your campaign go out, because I'm like, this has got to be awesome. I totally want to support this person. I'd love to get on a subscribe and save. Just
dude, I saw your name come in and you got 10 bottles. And I'm like, Carlos is the man, dude. Carlos is the man.
I want to share it out to my group and tell them to like, you know, pay it forward that way. Like keep it in the community. Plus, I believe you sold me on the branding of it, which is really sexy. And then hearing you talk and seeing how you're all into fitness and, you know, betterment on Instagram. What is it? At Egyptian Prescription, I think it is.
Yeah, like, Egyptian Prescription Alliance.
Yeah, seeing all that, to see that you actually live it, was like, damn, I want to be part of this. Like, let me drink this. I have no connection to Mudwater. I'm also like a nootropics junkie. Like I love Alpha Brain. I don't know if you think that's a good one or not.
Yeah, I used Alpha Brain when it first came out, when I heard Joe Rogan talk about it.
Yeah, so Joe Rogan got me, so I'm on Alpha Brain. So I'm imagining my ritual being something with nootropics in that. I also guzzle coffee big time, like 5 today. I know it's bad, totally addicted. So maybe Cognuro breaks me of that. Now, you've described the product really good. I think everyone has a nice visual of what we're going to be talking about for the rest of the episode, because the Kickstarter was for that product. Yeah. I don't want to spend a ton of time on the basics. But for someone that's like, you know, what the heck is a Kickstarter? In your own words, what is Kickstarter for someone that's never visited the platform?
Okay, so Kickstarter is, think of it as a platform for early adopters. The people that want to say, I tried it before everyone else, for the new products, new gadgets, new things, that new inventions that come out. You go on and you support these products by buying their products at a discounted rate. and you will get them before they're ever sold on the market. So for example, Cognuro, everyone who backed us on Kickstarter pretty much bought the product before it was even in production. Now, obviously, we could have produced everything with our own money and then gotten money back from the Kickstarter. But the whole purpose of the Kickstarter was to have people buy the product. So you get 30 days, you put up a sales page. It's a, you know, it describes the story. It says what the product is, why it's the best, who we are, why you should back us, why you should, you know, try this product and be the first in the world, even though you're going to wait 2 or 3 months to get the product, which I think our backers, it's been 2 months now because they've been waiting from April 30th, something like that. So you are going to wait a significant amount of time because you understand that you're funding this project. And once the project's fully funded, which we were, you know, our goal was 5,000, we made $12,500. These people fully funded the project. We took the money and we paid the manufacturers and the, you know, and shipping and all of that kind of stuff. And we were able to produce the product without putting our money in. So essentially, think about it this way. You have this amazing product. You know that it's going to solve a lot of people's pain points. You know, it's going to solve a problem. You're like, you know, I have this major inconvenience in my life. I wish someone would come up with this thing. And then you come up with it. And then you tell people, well, honestly, I don't have the money to fund it. But let's put it up on Kickstarter. My goal to fund this whole project is $5,000. And each product, let's say, is $25. So you need 200 to fund to fund the product. You need 200 sales to fund this project. And so 200 people will say, yeah, I would love to have this in my life. So they would fund it. And then once you get that money, the 5,000, they take a, you know, Kickstarter takes a small cut. Think all in all, it was like with Stripe fees and everything, like 8%, not significant. And we got the money and we took that money and we paid our manufacturer to create this product. And now the people who backed us on Kickstarter will be the first ever to get it. And then, you know, a few weeks later, whatever, it's going to be out on Amazon and so on. And, you know, the masses can go get it. So that's kind of the concept of Kickstarter.
So to like redo this in another way, one day, and I was explaining Kickstarter in the meetup group, and I agree with everything you said. And the person said, some people just can't wrap their head around that there is a spot where people would want to pay, and like, especially Amazon private label sellers, it's like freebie and return for, or 100% back after the fact for, in this case, it's a deal, but they're paying you in advance.
Yeah.
For this product. So the idea that there's a place where people like that exist is amazing in and of itself.
It's full of early adopters. It's full of people that they want to say, yeah, I got this before it was ever sold anywhere. Like I was the first person to get this.
Would you consider yourself an early adopter?
Nah, not really. Yeah.
What do you think it takes? Like what type of person do you think it is? Like a different breed, like for someone to be an early adopter.
It's someone who's proud of like having a knowledge advantage, you know, over people or someone who feels like they belong more when they've had something before everyone else. So that's the kind of people that you find on there. They're like the people who love like Shark Tank, for example. They're the people, you know, they just, you know, it's the typical, like I knew them before they were cool type people. Like they want to be the ones that they found this gadget, right? With these sunglasses that can also play music. And they want to be they want to be complimented on these finds. They want to, you know, the friends come over, they're like, wow, this is a really cool thing. Where'd you get it? And they're like, yeah, I was the first one to ever get it. Like I backed it on Kickstarter. That's the kind of people.
So the same person that might have like jumped on the Bitcoin bandwagon in the very beginning and like that type of stuff.
Yeah. All right. Those people. They take risks because, sorry, I just trying to focus the camera. They take risks because the first thing is you will get your money back if the project's not fully funded. And, but you are taking the risk of the project getting fully funded and then the founders having manufacturing issues and so on and so forth. And that's why in our story, in the Kickstarter, we had to be very, 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 like convincing, like guys, like we've done this before, there's no risks. We just need your money to create this beautiful product.
For sure. Referencing the video and you're trying to like focus the camera, like for anyone listening to this on the podcast first, this comes out on a YouTube afterwards. And it seems like Mina and I are both having bad camera days. Like my main camera went out. There's some focus. Jump in. It's awesome though. But the gold is in the audio regardless. So yeah, whatever. Yeah.
The knowledge is there. It's worth
it. The knowledge is there, man. So I'm going to assume something here, and I don't know where I got this. Like maybe you've shared it, but you're a veteran Amazon seller. I'm assuming, I hope I'm right here, that you actually sell in what I consider the most competitive category on Amazon. You're a supplement seller. Is that correct?
Yeah. Supplements. Yes. That's the only thing I'll touch really in selling anything. That's my passion.
It's the only thing I won't touch, honest to God. Like that's like my criteria. If I'm working with someone or I'm launching a product, it's like, is it supplements? I don't want anything to do with it.
I'm like, is it supplements? Oh my God. Yeah. Let me help you.
So with, you can be average, I feel like middle of the pack in selling supplements on Amazon and just be a god when it comes to like other categories. Cause like what it takes to be successful in the supplement category on Amazon is a lot. So yeah. with that experience, you mentioned already a little bit about why you like one of the motivations to also go to Kickstarter, because you have the skill set. And you mentioned Sammer, amazing content creator, like one of my top 10 content creators. I'd love to have him on the show. But you guys get together, both of you having more than enough experience to just launch this directly on Amazon. What can you talk a little bit more about, like what influenced that? And you touched on it briefly, but that's a big decision.
Yeah, honestly, have you heard? Do you know Greta? Greta Van Riel. She has like this Instagram course by founder. Anyways, she has a brand, right? She sells watches, and you sign up for the next watch drop, and you can only buy the watches 5 days out of the month. So they're pretty much in 5 days, they sell the watches. And then for the other 25 days of the month, it's completely like, you can't buy it. And it creates like this thing. And dude, I was like, man, I wish I could pre-sell my stuff. I wish I could, you know, say, guys, we're having this new, you know, hard work, freedom ice flavor coming out soon. If you want to be part of it, if you want to be the early adopters, I guess, you know, sign up for this wait list and be able to create a product and pre-fund it and pre-sell it before it's ever made. You know, just like that was very, very attractive to me. And so I wanted to challenge myself. I said, is it possible for us to create a product that is so good that people are willing to prepay for? And I mean, we've seen this with cars, we've seen it with iPhones, we've seen it with so many things where you're willing to buy the stuff just so you can be the first to get it, even though you know it's going to take a while, which is kind of like the anti-Amazon. You know, on Amazon, everyone wants to get the stuff super quick. So for me, it was a very attractive concept, and I really wanted to challenge myself and see, is it possible for me to create enough buzz, enough demand, and enough like signups and pre-sales to pre-fund production run? Because, you know, pre-funding production runs, that puts you in a negative cash flow cycle. And if for the people who don't know what that means, it means that I get my money from my customers before I pay money to my manufacturers, whatever, to make the product. Now, imagine how much you can scale if you can do that. Because if a customer is giving me $25 and it's costing me $10 to make, I'm pocketing $15 before ever, you know, paying anyone. So I can fulfill a billion orders, right? Because I'll get the $1 billion worth of orders and then pay the manufacturer after the fact because of that negative cash flow cycle. So that's just been very appealing, and it's something that I'm not good at. And I wouldn't say I'm good at Kickstarter. We pretty much, I think, in my opinion, we sucked. We did good. We did like 250% of our goal, of our like backing goal. But looking back, there's so many things that we messed up, and there's so many things that we could have done a lot better. And I'd love to touch on everything.
I love it. Are you familiar with Nerdy Nuts? the brand.
Nerdynuts.com.
You got to check out that website. So I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on the name, but what you just described, that's what Nerdy Nuts does. So they have these like once a month. It's once a month or like once every other month that they have small batch. You know, they could scale more, but it's more like small batch, homemade, like flavored peanut butter. And it's only available during a certain period of time. And you have to pre-order these things. There's a technique, there's a name for that strategy or that marketing strategy on that exists. And I'm drawing a blank on it. So it's right in the tip of my tongue, but I imagine it's very hard because you're risking a lot. Like what happens when your sale or your availability to sale ends and somebody wants to, so I'll buy five of them. You got to stick to your guns. Otherwise that scarcity disappears.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And it's tough, but I think that you'll never be able to do it unless you try it. Right. Like, I mean, yeah, maybe if we did it and we didn't convince enough people and only 10 people bought, I mean, in Kickstarter, the worst case scenario is I would have then put my own money in and we would have, you know, reached the funding goal with our own money just so we can get the money out and been like, okay, guys, we sucked at the Kickstarter thing, but we tried it and we identified some of our issues. But if I was doing a pre-sale on my website, like the Nerdy Nuts, and I only got five people, I mean, I'll never learn how to do it unless I go through that failure. So for me, I embrace those things.
For anyone listening to this too, I want everyone to get it. So I'm repeating some of this stuff here because I think it's important. You're describing your Kickstarter campaign. Your funding goal was $4,995 or like $5,000. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you shattered it, like outside looking in, you shattered it by 250%. Mm-hmm. But you call that a failure. Right. So yeah. Outside looking in, it says everything about it. There's like bells and balloons. It's success. You succeeded at funding your Kickstarter. So what did it take for you to beat your funding goal by 250%? And why are you calling it a failure?
So the reason I'm calling it a failure is because looking back, I think there was so much more we could have done to generate demand. Now, people think sometimes that you're going to create a Kickstarter, you're going to create a beautiful video, a pitch, and then people on Kickstarter are going to start backing you. That's not really the case. The case is you have to bring your own audience to Kickstarter. You have to generate the demand outside of Kickstarter. And once you generate all of that demand and you launch it on Kickstarter and they go and back you on Kickstarter, you will get a halo effect of Kickstarter buyers that will, you know, then come and say, wow, I a lot of people have funded this. I also want to fund this so I can get it first. What we did is we generated a little bit of demand. We did not have any lead capture at all. Now, going back, I would have definitely had lead capture on my website using either Klaviyo or via customers to get them in SMS. I prefer SMS because it's way more engaging, and you're getting way less SMS blasts than you are getting email blasts. So via customers is the people that I use. And, you know, going back, I should have really, you know, I should have like fabricated it. I should have fabricated the entire inception. I should have built a storyline and I should have said, okay, we have 3 months. In those 3 months, we're already done. Where everything is done, but we have 3 months to, let's fabricate the story. Let's say that we came up with the idea, and let's say we did this, and let's show this and that, and make it more of a story. And then constant call to action: sign up to get notified when we're live on Kickstarter. Sign up and build a list of 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people. You know, in our pre-sale list. And then even if we get half of them on Kickstarter, we can then immediately send all of those people to back us on Kickstarter. We didn't do any of that. I fully depended on my strength of influence with friends and people like you in the community who I knew were going to be like, okay, you know, Mina's doing an amazing thing and he's creating this fun product and it's only $25, like what, or $20. It's no big deal to, you know, support him. And so I would say we had 35% were non-family and friends. And then the 65% were family and friends. And again, you know, looking back, I was like, we could have run a ton of Facebook ads and it's like convincing people, this is an incredible product. You really need this. This is going to solve a major problem in your life and send them to that lead capture form, whether it's email, whether it's SMS, and constantly kind of incentivize people over the course of 3 months. But I'm a very impatient person. So I just kind of wanted to push. The second we got the 3D render out, I blasted it out there. The second we got this, you know, I was just constantly pushing just so we can be live on Kickstarter. The second that our Kickstarter was approved, we're like, okay, we're going to be live in like a week. So I really pushed the timeline and going back, I would have rather fabricated the whole thing. So once I was approved on Kickstarter, then been like, okay, push it 3 months. And then now I have 3 months, the bottles in hand, everything is done. We're able to like create all of this content, all of this over 3 months to kind of get that audience. So if you are thinking of doing a Kickstarter, I would highly recommend you take, you know, a few months of building a list and you know, you could do that through paid traffic. Facebook is super powerful. You can do that through TikTok. You can do that through Instagram. And I think TikTok is incredibly powerful. And, you know, I've been getting in touch with a lot of TikTokers to create content for my other brands. And it is really like a viral platform.
So what I hear you say is that if you can hit the redo button, the number one thing that you would do differently is you would build the story and the list well in advance, maybe 3 to 6 months in advance of yes. actually launching the Kickstarter. But when you said, I think you said it sounded like 60 to 65% of the people that funded your current Kickstarter were friends like me, your family, yes. people in the community that were just like, yeah, he's doing this. Of course we're going to do this, but that's not bad, right? Like you should factor in, like previous Kickstarters I've done, like I'll go 6 months, 7 months out and I agree with you 100% SMS. I used to use Slick Text. What was that tool you mentioned? Did you mention the SMS tool?
Yeah. Via customers. They're my number one, like incredible customer support. I use them for everything. Direct to consumer. I use them on my inserts. So, you know, obviously, you know, Amazon's doing this huge kind of like campaign against like getting reviews and contacting customers. So with SMS, I feel like you can have a much more intimate relationship, nurture the customer, repurchase, reviews, whatever, you know, all of that good stuff. And so they're amazing because you sign up with them and they bring you like a guy and he's like, okay, you know, here's what we've done for brands like you. Do you want us to implement it? And you're like, yeah. And you're like, by the way, can I do a 4th of July, you know, campaign? By the way, can I do like everyone who's bought from me once, but is not subscribe and save? Can you hit them back after 30 days and offer them a deeper discount for subscribe and save and so on, you know, things like that. And they'll just implement for you. And it's, you know, you don't have to pay anything other than when you send out the message. For every person, it's depending on the length of the text, it's either like 1 cent or 2 cents or 3 cents. And, you know, they buy it for like, let's say a half a cent, and then they sell it to you for a cent. And that's how they make their money.
I opened their site now to check it out. I was using Slick Text forever, but I used them mostly for their short codes, but now short codes are like a thing of the past apparently. So I'm looking for an alternative anyway. So yeah, 6 months out, I would look at my contacts list and it would be almost be like a purge. And I'd go and I'd say, okay, do I feel comfortable enough even asking you to support me on a Kickstarter in 6 months? If the answer is no, I just deleted you from my contacts. Like you shouldn't be there. And at that point, really, you don't have to, but if I feel uncomfortable even asking you to support me on something, or I feel like I have to hide it, It's like, you shouldn't be on my contact list. Like, you really shouldn't. So I go through this long process and I put together like a Google sheet of people I could ask, make sure I have their current number, get a verbal confirmation, and then keep circling back like every 2 months. But that's pretty genius. What do you feel like you nailed on this Kickstarter?
I feel like we nailed our pitch. So let me talk about the pitch, right? This is one thing I feel like we did good, because I have some friends who are kind of in the industry and in like the entertainment industry. And so I got a lot of help from a lot of people. Now, if you go on any Kickstarter page, you'll notice you have the title, you have the like a small banner, and then you have the video pitch. And that's what people rely on to sell the product. And then you have a long sales page. Think of it as enhanced brand content times 10. So it's like right after the video, it's like you have image, 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 you know, with small amount of text and call outs, just so, you know, it's like, here's our story. This is what makes us different. These are ingredients and so on and so forth. And you can always go to, you know, kickstarter.com/neuro/cogneuro. I believe that you can look at our thing. So anyways, we said, okay, how do we come up with a pitch? The first thing was, let's come up with a written pitch. So I came up with a written pitch, and you know, I went on Zencastr, which is where I record my podcasts, and we had we only had one person do it, which is our female co-founder, and she recorded the pitch. So I wrote it out, and we said, okay, like change up anything that you know is like grammatically not great. Practice it. And then I want you to say it. And so she said it. And then what I did was, we took that audio, we sent it to a designer, a video editor, my video editor. And I said, go get stock videos and add the stock videos on top of this video to match what she's saying. And so now we had some sort of like blueprint, and we looked at the blueprint and it was like, okay, it's not that good. So and back to the drawing board, and then we wrote out again a new pitch, and then she recorded again, and then we put again stock videos on there, and then when we saw it, we're like, this looks really good. It gets me excited. There's a hook at the beginning. It's like energized, focused, motivated, locked in. That's how I want to feel. That's how you feel when you drink Cogneuro. And I was like, right off the bat, I was like, yeah, I want to feel those things. Yeah. And then it got into a little bit of like, you know, do you hate this negative side effect of coffee? Do you hate that negative side effect of coffee? Well, this is our thing, and this is why our thing is really good. And so I liked it a lot. And so then the next step was, we went to a studio, and it wasn't expensive, very cheap, I think $150. And we pretty much just were in a like a padded room with a microphone, like a nice microphone. And we went in, and I said, okay, record the pitch. And, you know, it was sentence. And obviously she could take breaks but every sentence kind of needed to sound good and flow together. So we recorded it. We sent it to a guy. He chopped it up and made it sound like a perfect pitch. So now we had that. We then went to a professional video editor or a cinematographer, whatever they're called, but like the next level, like movie production, series production. That one cost us $600. And pretty much I told him, all you need to do is put stock videography in there. So we put stock videography on the whole thing. And then we identified areas, like, you know, 5 or 6 areas where we could, you know, essentially insert ourselves in as the founders. And so I hired a video editor, videographer here in Los Angeles. He came to my house. We set up, you know, on my counter, we got the Cogneuro mixing. We did a shot in the balcony where she was talking about the product. We did a shot on the table where we were like researching ingredients. And, you know, it took a few hours. We took 5 or 6 different shots. We sent it to the video editor. He inserted them. So now it was a flow between stock, real, stock, real, stock, real. And the entire pitch came out beautiful.
You know, I think I'm starting to put some stuff in the background together. Like, my mind is working because you're dropping real numbers. You mentioned Facebook ads too, which we didn't even mention a number that could potentially go to a budget. So
yeah.
Why did you pick 4,995? Cause it sounds like what you dropped, what did that cover the production cost? Like, how did you pick that number?
So we okay, we honestly arbitrarily picked a number that seemed very achievable and that we knew that within the first day we could reach 75%. So we, this is what we kind of did. I said, okay, we sat down and said, who's our real friends that are 100% going to back us? So we didn't count you and all the other people.
Oh man.
Even though you are a real friend and I knew you were going to back us, but I said, listen, like, who's 100% going to give us this money? And so
like we made a mom, list. Mom, grandma, like, oh, you start naming all these people.
My sister, if I bully her, you know. So we came up with a number and we said, okay, if we hit, you know, 5,000, if we put $5,000, we could probably get 75% of it on day one with our friends. You know, with people that I can text, be like, yo, we're live on Kickstarter. And because I know that they really care about me and just for the sake of like, you know, saying like, you know, you're my friend, I love you, I'm just going to support you even if the product sucks, like those people. And so that's how we set the 5,000. Now, obviously, I think in the first 3 hours, we hit $5,000 and we exceeded it. And then when we posted in the Facebook groups and everything, we had people like you and like, I think Leron and all these other people, Destiny, all these people in the community supported us on top of that. So that's how we came up. In terms of like cost, I would say, you know, the video, the videographer, it was $200. The sound was 150, so it's 350. And the video editor was 600. So we're talking about $1,000 for the entire pitch. To create the enhanced brand content, 450 for using No Limit Creatives, and they created all of our graphics for us. And then I paid an employee $300 overseas to build the page for me. You know, obviously I could have done it myself, but it's just an employee that I've already trained on building enhanced brand content. So she was able to build all of that. You know, I think with Klaviyo and Shopify and all of that stuff on software, we dropped like $250 total. So it wasn't that expensive just to have our direct-to-consumer presence so we can kind of capture emails. Now, like I said, we had 50 emails total. So we did a horrible job capturing the emails. If I were to go back now, I could definitely capture a lot of emails and texts. I would definitely like push super hard on text, but yeah, those are kind of our numbers. And then, you know, samples and everything, maybe a couple $100. We have a full breakdown if, you know, if you ever want me to share it. And then, yeah, R&D, all that kind of stuff was like only $200, $250. I bought the stuff. And yeah, our production run, our landed cost is $7.3. So for 1,000 units, we sold 600 or 592 units on Kickstarter. So let's say 600. So 600 units. And then we said we're going to send 400 to Amazon. So that's 1,000 units, $7,300 total. So, you know, we made 12,000 something on Kickstarter, let's say 11,000 in the bank after they take their fees. We covered everything pretty much. And the one thing that I messed up is I charged everyone $19 for the product and I did not charge shipping. And you don't charge shipping because you're used to the Amazon, but yeah, we're getting killed in shipping. So that's another like $5-ish per product.
That happened to me. So like I was one of the, I've been selling for on Amazon 15 years. And in the very, like after exiting my first brand, I fluke, got lucky early days. I started like, the only way you could describe it is I was single, I was recently single. I was whoring around Miami. I finally got, you know, some money and I was on my way to like be broke fast. And then when someone pulls me to the side, they're like, hey, you know, you gotta change your ways. Like if not, you're going to be broke. I wind up getting into a beverage chilling device brand we created. And we were one of the first people to do Whiskey Stones. I don't know if you're familiar with Whiskey
Stones. Yeah, I love Whiskey Stones.
Okay. So we do a Kickstarter on whiskey spheres. Like now they're everywhere, but it was like these stainless steel spheres. We didn't invent them, but we didn't see them anywhere. And we're like, let's do a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
We hit our Kickstarter goal. We didn't charge shipping. These things got some weight to them, right? Compared to what we priced out, and we crushed our goal. I think we wanted 5,000 too, and we got like 70.
Wow.
And we got butchered in shipping.
Yeah.
Just an FYI, let me know and I'll add my shipping. So no, take a loss on mine.
No, when we took the loss, we got to take it like a champ, and then just learn for next time. But it's okay, you know. We learned a lot. Now we know not to do it again, and to always take into account every single, you know, component of how much it's going to, you know, cost when we're shipping out the product. So, you know, we wanted like a really good deal to make our cost of goods, like, to make our sale price on Kickstarter really low. But I think, you know, we really did not factor at all that shipping was going to be a whole separate thing. And no matter using also we thought about using like a third party logistics, but then Matt Loberstein, I don't know if you've heard of Matt, but he mentioned, you guys should do handwritten notes. Like, that's super cool. And I was like, that's actually a really good idea. So we wrote out a handwritten note and we took a picture and we told everyone, like, we're writing handwritten notes for the Kickstarter. And like, the feedback was insane. They're like, oh my God, that's so amazing. That's so cute. And so it goes back to the whole, like, who's that demographic on Kickstarter? It's those people that care about like something cool, authentic. Like, they're going to be, these people are essentially the only ones that will ever have a note from the founders, like a handwritten note from the founders. So it's stuff like that, like, that people want to brag about.
You said that set, like, approximately 70%, or like in the first day, 100% was done. And like within minutes, I think 70% was back.
Yeah, 3 hours, 70. I think within 3 hours, we had 100% of our goal accomplished.
Do you think, like, say me, early adopter, I don't know you since you're not counting me as a friend. No, I'm just playing. But like, so we don't know each other. I'm just cruising Kickstarter wanting to like get in on an early adoption of something. And I see your offering. Do you think more people, you think I convert more when I see this at like $50 funded on 5,000? Or do I fund this more when I see it's almost about to be successfully funded?
When it's almost successfully funded or already successfully funded, that's when we really saw like outsider people, because my eye was on the name list, and it was the three of us, and we'd have a meeting and be like, do you know this person? Yes, 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 yes. So 95% of the people to reach the funding goal was pretty much people that we knew. And then after we were very close to the funding goal or hit it, it was all random people after that.
Would you do it differently next time? Like, assuming there is a next time, like, would you still flood a bunch of people in to attract other people, or would you spread it out sort of like X amount per day, like similar to like Amazon search, buy? Like, you want Kickstarter to keep seeing activity. How would you do it?
No, I would blast as much as possible. So the only thing different that I would do, like I said, is build that list way, way, way bigger and have that story to keep engaged, like fabricate a story. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, yeah, everyone wants to see something real, but if you are actually living the reality of this project, it's not fun. It's not sexy. It's really not attractive when you're dealing with all these issues. But I would have written a story and said, okay, let's come up with this storyline. On day 15, we're going to show people like how we got this black bottle and we drew some stuff on it. All of this like fluffy movie type shit. This is what people like want. Like, they want to be entertained. They want to be taken on this journey and this story. You don't want to see me sitting on the computer looking at manufacturers' quotes for tin cans and staying up till, you know, 12:30 a.m. talking to people in China. That's not the attractive stuff. You don't want to see that. So I would have like definitely, you know, made a nice story, nice movie out of it, collected people's. But then when we launch on day one, I would probably send out like 7 text blasts in that day, like one every hour, until like every single person, either you stop, like unsubscribe, or you back it. Like, I don't care.
Kind of like my contact list. Like, you just put up or shut up.
Exactly. That's how it is.
Really quick, I want to be respectful of your time, though. Really quick, what? This could go on and on with questions, but is there going to be another one? Like, do you see that happening?
I think due to the lack of success we had with the first one, it's only right to do another one. You know, now that we have everything kind of tight, probably if we do a new flavor drop, it's going to go one of two ways. We're either going to do it on Kickstarter, or I'm going to sell it. I'm going to pre-sell it on the website, and I'm going to have the product on the website is going to say, that it's in a certain future date, and I will send a ton of traffic and blast everyone, say, get this drop. We're only producing like 1500 of this flavor, and really, you know, see if we're able to successfully pre-sell the product. I think if that's a skill that you can master, like, I mean, you know, sky's the limit. Like, you can pretty much sell anything you want before it's ever made. And if I can master that skill, like, I think I will be very, very, like, dangerous, I guess, is the one way to put it.
Yeah. I call it 8 feet tall and bulletproof. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pre-sell is amazing. Absolutely. I don't want to keep you too much longer. I look forward to having you back to talk more about Kickstarter and definitely like a whole bunch of other topics in the Amazon space. I look forward to convincing you to come down to Miami so that we can like
make no convincing required. Zero convincing required.
Make this PPC workshop a reality.
Yeah.
Before letting you go, like if someone wants to get a hold of you because they're thinking about starting a Kickstarter or have questions about this episode or about PPC University, about anything having to do with Amazon, what's the best way for somebody to get a hold of you?
So the best ways are Instagram and Facebook. So my Instagram's @Egyptian_prescription_Elias. Facebook, mina.elias.7. You'll see me have a black shirt on. Other than that, hit me up there. I'm very accessible there. Go follow the FBAchallenge.com. That's where we're releasing everything to do with Cognuro. Every single step of the Kickstarter, every single step of launching on Amazon, sourcing, creating the LLC, bank account, everything. You know, literally we have a playbook of every single step that we're taking from zero to, you know, if we sell the business, selling the business. And, you know, there's a video on it, on like how we did it. And the Brax FBA group, that's where we post all of our updates. Yeah, but, you know, I'm not hard to get a hold of. If you have any questions, feel free to shoot them over.
Why not? And I always tell people in my group, like, there's no such thing as a dumb question. We were caught in a real quick back and forth earlier. And did I hear you say that you had a podcast?
Yes, I started a mindset podcast.
What's up, man? Drop it. Yeah. Drop it right now. I'm going to subscribe. Yeah. Everyone listening to this, should subscribe.
It's called Undisputed Mindset. And initially, like, I was, bringing a lot of people on, guests on, to talk about mindset. And I kind of like got a little bit busy and it got away from me, but I really want to get back into it. And you know, it's not hard to record or produce, and it's audio only. So, you know, it's not bad. And I also want to do more solo episodes where I talk about certain things. Like, I've learned so much, I've made so many mistakes. So I kind of want to share all of that stuff.
Kudos to you for doing that, man. That's it can feel very vulnerable and also empowering to do a podcast where there's no one to bounce this back and forth on. I feel like the silence in those episodes can be very loud. So yeah. I know you're going to do amazing. I'm going to subscribe right after the show. I look forward to the next episode. Before getting you off the hot seat though, just like I ask everybody on the show, what is your favorite book and why?
Okay. So I have two, but my favorite books are Be Obsessed or Be Average. That's my book for mindset. Whenever I'm having a down day, I will literally just turn it on and listen to it. I think it's very important to listen to that book because it will really shape your mindset. And that's kind of the mindset that you have to have if you want to like win. You have to have obsessive, you have to not care about naysayers, you have to, you know, go hard. And Grant Cardone really covers a lot in that book, and it's very well said. And if you don't like Grant Cardone, because if you've seen him on YouTube or whatever, the book is very, very different than his actual personality. It's a very, very, very good book. The other one is Peak Performance, Elevate Your Game. That one is one of my all-time favorites because it is very practical and actionable, and it shows you that performance in business and performance in life and your relationships and performance in the actual like physical performance and in the gym is all the same fundamental concepts. And if you took, you know, those fundamental concepts like stress and rest, intentional practice, like all of these different, concepts and foundations and applied them to business, like the same way that a professional athlete would apply them to his physical training, it's like, unbelievable. And I think one of the reasons I've had some success in this business and industry is because of me being a fighter and of having all of these concepts like drilled in me every single day. And so, you know, when I'm at the gym and someone's about to choke me out and I'm defending it and I'm like not staying calm, not freaking it out, it's the same as like when I see one of my products get taken down on Amazon and I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like, let's think of the most, you know, logical next step. What should we do to get out of this instead of like freaking out and being emotional about it? So there's a lot of crossover between it. And, you know, in the book, they cover the crossover between, you know, peak performance in physical and in like business and mental and everything.
Mina, you killed it. You absolutely killed it. Everyone listening to this, you know now how to reach them. The two books I have not read, so you probably just cost me like $30. I'm buying these on Amazon right now.
The best $30 you'll spend.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I get to listen. I'm mostly audiobook now, putting the kids to sleep, same. But I love it. Undisputed Mindset. I'm sure you're a beast at it. Everybody subscribe to that right now. And with that, we're going to wrap this up. And I will speak to everybody next week. Mina, thank you so much.
It was fun sharing this episode with you. If you found value in what you've heard, please show your love with a subscribe, rate, and a review of the show. Until next time.